A spoonful of sugar helps the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast go down. The user-friendly Medicare podcast. He knows that boys rule and girls drool. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, the podcast that tries to find lazy people that don't want to learn about Medicare and force that knowledge into their brains. That's actually not that painful. That sounds disgusting. What we do is we try to lure them to the horse trough of Medicare knowledge and ask them to drink until they're sated. And then they will know what they need to know. And they will have a beautiful life in Medicare for as long as they live, which could be decades and decades and decades. In the meantime, I sit here and pontificate about Medicare several times a week, only because I became less lazy somewhere along the line and took the time to learn a little bit about it. Now, you heard our introduction by my nephew, Drew McMillan, a Canadian entertainer who is a fantastic voiceover guy. He also is the host of a Canadian show about powerboats called, ironically, Powerboat TV. Now, you Yanks can't watch Powerboat TV on your televisions, but you can go to their website to see episodes of Powerboat TV starring Drew McMillan as one of the hosts, and that would be powerboattv.com. So, if you want to see what Drew looks like, or if you want to watch him share his knowledge of powerboats and the equipment that are required for powerboats, then go to powerboattv.com. Also, the reason we're here is I wrote a book about Medicare, and then the next year I wrote another book about Medicare, and then the following year I wrote another book about Medicare, which is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. At some point in the near future, I'm going to start the 2021 version of the book. Not too much will have changed, but it's always good to let the public know that the book they're buying is current. And so Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021 will be coming out in a few months, probably late November, I'm guessing. So in addition to that, we have the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, where we keep you up to date on all the goings-on in the Medicare world. How exciting is that? And then we also have a fantastic website that explains Medicare, and that's called MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. That was engineered by my good friend, Randy Carson, and his crack staff. Now, interestingly enough, Randy Carson is right here with us today. Hello, Randy. How are you doing?
I'm really good, Doug. I have to ask, though, you're looking particularly Ivy League today. You know, your hair looks like you just stepped out of GQ. What's going on
there?
Well,
my wife dragged me, actually forced me at gunpoint to go to her hairdresser. You know, it could have been any barber shop, but she knew I would not object too strenuously to going to her hairdresser, and I actually got my hair cut. So today, I had to get up and go to the local hospital and donate some blood. Actually, not donate, they forced me to do it, but so I took a shower and fluffed it all up, and that's probably what you're looking at right now. It won't last. I'll look like alfalfa before too long.
No, it is looking particularly fluffy today. It's like, man, you ought to go get your portrait taken.
Where were opinions like yours back when I was in high school looking for babes? You know, there weren't enough girls that enjoyed my hair back then, but of course, that was right when the Beatles became popular. And I think had I had a lot more hair back then, I would have been more popular with the ladies in my teenage set.
So how much blood do you had to give today? You're looking a little pale.
Well, I'm a little pale because, frankly, I've been inside my soundproof booth here. I don't have a lot of vitamin D going on like I would if we were in Arizona. But what happens is I have to go to the hospital every time they tell me to change a medication dosage. And so they say, you know, wait 2 weeks, then go in and give some blood, and we'll see if it's going to kill you or not. And I, frankly, this time it was a diuretic because back in 2015, November of 2015, the day I quit smoking, I had surgery on one leg to replace an artery in that leg. And ever since then, I've had every year I go to Arizona and I ignore doctors like nobody's business. But then I come back and during the summer, I got to go see all these doctors. And this year, for some reason, they keep changing medications and then saying, go back and give some blood. So I do that periodically. This time it's a diuretic because that leg that I had operated on swelled up a little bit. And I want the both of them to look the same. So frankly, I have to take a diuretic that theoretically reduces the fluid retention in the one leg and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, I bet you're thinking, well, okay. Actually, I don't know what you're thinking, but I can see some thought process going on there. So,
you never know what's going through my mind. I was just wondering, you know, what is it, 10W40, 10W30? What's the level of your blood now? Because I know that with my parents, there's such a thing called Coumadin, and they were constantly trying to adjust it.
It's interesting you should mention that. I take the same stuff, only I call it warfarin, which sounds a lot more dangerous. It's rat poison.
Yeah, it is rat poison. It's either a medicine for you, or it kills rats.
And frankly, that's a beautiful thing, you know, when you can use the same thing to do good and do evil. But in my case, I have to take it because the new artery they put in my leg is more prone to blood clots. So they want to keep the blood a little thinner. So I take warfarin. I've been doing this ever since, the beginning of 2016, I guess, or the end of 2015. And I used to have my blood checked all the time, and it was really a pain in the ass. I didn't know that there was a little machine about the size of a pack of smokes, probably two packs of smokes, that I could do it all myself. So starting in 2016, I got this machine, and I got this box of things that prick my finger. It's probably like being a diabetic. And so every 2 weeks now, I prick my finger. I wipe a piece of plastic with the blood. I stick it into the machine. And then the machine does some magical electronic stuff. And then it tells me what the magic number is. The magic number has to be between 2 and 3. And so I try to make sure that I haven't eaten spinach or gotten completely blown away or, you know, the night before. And if I can kind of maintain, then when I do this every 2 weeks, my score is between 2 and 3. And I don't have to be hauled to a doctor's office or anything like that.
Now I know the reason I never ate spinach. You can bleed to death if you eat spinach. You know that, don't you?
I forget which way it goes. It's either bleed to death or the other way. Your blood completely solidifies. I forget. There's booze does one thing and spinach does the other.
Yeah, it's well, the thing in spinach that kills you off, well, I don't know. Like you say, I don't know whether it goes to 10W10 or whether it goes to 10W80, but it's vitamin K that kills you off. So there's other things.
It.
There's other things, too.
Yeah, it's vitamin K, and if I have a score that's way out of whack, they always call me because there's an electronic connection between my machine and, I don't know, Big Brother. Yeah, so Big Brother always knows.
And, warning, Will Robinson. Oh.
So some nurse will call me within like 5 hours and say, what did you do? And then I'll have to say, well, it was my birthday, and I celebrated too much. And so
if it's 5 hours, they must not be really worried.
Well, they got a lot of other knuckleheads out there that are ingesting vitamin K. So I'm just one that's typically okay. I don't sound weird, you know. So they say call him last because he's probably recovering already from whatever stupid thing he did. But I just remembered we had a hanging chad from our one of our recent episodes wherein I was trying to think about a Robert Louis Stevenson movie from the 1930s.
Yeah,
that starred Wallace Beery and Jackie Coogan. I want to say. Well, that movie was called Treasure Island.
Treasure Island, yes.
Does that ring any bells? Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, it does.
And, of course, a tribute to the free association that you and I enjoy together. That whole conversation started by the term dory, being referred to as a
hunky
small
and
robot.
How did Hunky and Dory come to be?
Well, I said Hunky Dory. Everything's Hunky Dory, and you said where did that come from? And I said, well, a dory would be a small round rowboat, I think. And then we started picturing people paddling on one side and spinning around in circles.
That was the invention of the rudder.
Well, if anybody ever really likes Medicare, they're going to listen to one episode of this and go away and discuss. So maybe we need to get after it.
We need to get after it. And I hear today we're going to do something that people have been waiting for a long time. We are going to do some serious mailbag diving.
Ooh, boy. What you're seeing right now is me scrambling to change gears because I prepared for something entirely different. We don't need to do that. Let's do the mailbag diving. I'm just kidding. I confuse Randy every once in a while. The look on his face is always priceless.
So I intro'd the wrong thing again. Oh, doggone it.
You did fine. I just led you astray. And, you'd think I'd be sorry about that. All those times that we log on and you pretend that my sound is off, well, that's a little payback for that.
Yeah, okay. For those of you who haven't used, recording equipment before, it's really fun when Doug logs in and I go, I can't hear a thing. And then he starts panicking and, it's really fun. But now I'm sure it's getting old by now.
Well, the important thing is I'm not quite as gullible as I used to be. And the next thing I'm going to be questioning is going to be that tooth fairy story because.
Oh, my gosh. You're talking to a dental family kid, so
I know.
I need to take that for another time.
And guess who I'm going to go be seeing tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning?
I bet it's a dentist.
It's not Carson, though. It's not a Carson dentist. He's free with the Novocaine.
Doggone it. You know, that's none of my family knew anything about Novocaine. The only thing they had on the side table was right next to the little spittoon sink. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
It was a fifth of Jack Daniels.
Well, I'll tell you something. That could do the same job as the Novocaine without the nasty needle that the Novocaine is applied with. But frankly, I'm just going to get the needle, most likely.
So you've heard of the medicinal shot glass, right?
Well, I know that there are shot glasses, and I know that the stuff in shot glasses can be medicinal, but that's...
The medicinal shot glass is you drink one shot, then you drink another shot, and then you may have to go to a third shot until no pain is felt.
How do you know when that shot has been reached, that no pain shot?
Well, you're always one past that.
That would be my goal, to make sure I passed it. But we've talked about gas. I want to try gas one of these days because I don't want to care.
When they nitrous say oxide, you got it. That's the best thing ever invented.
When they say we're going to cut your toes off, I want to say have at it and not care. But so anyway, mailbag. I dug into the Medicare for the Lazy Man mailbag. In fact, if you want to participate in the future, all you have to do is send your questions or comments to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And this gentleman did just that. He said, I enjoy listening to your books. He's not the only one. Those books are flying off the shelves. I would like to find information to help me understand what I should do regarding my work insurance and Medicare. I will be 65 in November of this year, which is 2020, but will not be retiring for a couple more years. Thank you, Doug. What a nice guy. So this was my response. Now, I should say this happened back in June, early June of 2020. And he said, my 65th birthday is November of 2020, but I'm not going to be retiring for a couple of years. So then I said, thank you for writing. How many employees does your company have? Large companies, over 20 employees, have different rules and procedures than small companies. Often, an excellent source of information is the HR department at your employer. If your insurance plan is an HSA, health savings account, then I would advise against enrolling in any part of Medicare until you need it at retirement. If you don't have an HSA, then I recommend enrollment in Medicare Part A at the earliest opportunity after turning 65. After that, let your HR or personnel expert guide you as to whether you need Medicare Part B right now, or if it's better to wait. If you have difficulty getting reliable advice, please contact me again and provide additional details so I can offer better advice. And then I said, thanks also for the kind words about my book. Short customer reviews are always appreciated. So that was early June. Now, guess what happened just yesterday? I got the same individual who wrote me again and said, I am watching the map on your website. That's MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. We have a map of the United States, and everybody can click on their favorite state. He's been waiting for his state to turn green, meaning we're ready to sell Medicare supplement in his state, which is Indiana. He said, do you think you will be in Indiana by November of this year? Thanks. And I said, yes, we are going to, here's what I said, because I didn't copy it correctly, but we are going to turn Indiana green just for you. So here is a short questionnaire for you to fill out. And then, of course, I had to send him another message saying, oops, I have finally attached the questionnaire. I forgot about it to you before. But basically, fill out this questionnaire, and then we can proceed with discussing your Medicare supplement needs. So he filled out the questionnaire, sent it back to me. I got it this morning. And in it, he indicates that he wants to get a Medicare supplement effective with the month of his birth. So his age 65 birthday is in November, and so we're going to have Medicare. He's going to have Medicare Part A and Part B effective on November 1st, in the month in which his birthday occurs. And then he's told me he wants to buy a high deductible Plan G. So I got to figure out what a high deductible Plan G would cost him. But I want to make sure that he's in effect, that he really needs a Medicare supplement right now. I don't want him to buy one if he doesn't need a Medicare supplement. So I'm going to have to speak to him after we're finished with this recording to make sure that he and I are both on the same page, because I don't want to sell a product that he doesn't need. If he, in fact, does need a Medicare supplement right now, it probably means that he works for a very small company and he would need the protection. If he works for a large company, the large company's Medicare insurance or medical insurance would actually be, it would step in and be primary coverage, and his Medicare coverage would be secondary. So it gets to be a little complicated, but I'm going to be talking to this gentleman later on this afternoon, and I think we have a client lined up for us at the Medicare for the Lazy Man door. And so then I promised Randy I would be getting into the mailbag again, because he's saying, no, he's pointing it at his watch saying, nope, we still have more time to kill. And so back in May, I have a email from a gentleman who wrote and said, Doug, thank you very much for the informative and easy to understand book on a very confusing subject. My wife and my future retirements. That's the subject. To make sure I understand our situation and enrollments, may I please ask you a couple of questions? But first, some information for you. My wife was 65 on May 1st of 2020, currently working and covered under my work health insurance program. I will be 65 on September 22nd, currently working and not interested in retiring anytime soon. I also contribute to a health savings account. Now, that's critical information. My employer, Briggs & Stratton, is a large company in Wisconsin. I'm in sales and live in Indiana. Here are my, and that's interesting because the other person I just read correspondence about also is in Indiana. Here are my areas of interest to clarify. Since my wife and I are covered under a large company's health insurance program, my understanding is that we are not required to sign up for Part A at this time, and there are forms we will need to fill out prior to retirement to sign up for Part A and B and not face penalties. I realize in my case, I don't want to sign up at 65 since working and want to continue putting money into my HSA. Is there any benefit or negatives for my wife signing up for AA now or just wait until retirement? I hope the clarification I am after makes sense. Thanks again. I think I will find myself reading your book over and over. Well, that's a beautiful thing to hear, and I hope you do, but the ending is always going to be the same. So, my response to this gentleman was, thanks very much for writing. Normally, I suggest that everyone enroll in Medicare Part A as early as possible because there is usually no disadvantage to doing so. You have discovered the one problem with that plan, that is jeopardizing the deductibility of your HSA contribution. Therefore, I agree that you should not enroll in any part of Medicare until you're ready to walk away from active participation in the Briggs Company plan. I am not an HSA expert, so I do not know whether having your wife enroll in Part A would have an effect on your HSA contributions. So the safest recommendation is that she take no action at this time. In fact, if you are both satisfied with the cost and benefit structure of the employer coverage, there is no need to make any change in your plan until you start thinking about retirement. Attached is the current form that the Social Security Administration will want to have the Briggs HR people complete when you're ready to enroll in Medicare. What that is a questionnaire saying, was this man involved in your health insurance plan until recently? And then, was his spouse involved in your health insurance plan until recently? And that allows the government to say, all right, we're not going to ask any medical questions because you had coverage right up to the time you decided to retire and go on Medicare. So then I said, I'm very glad to hear that my book has been helpful for you. Might I ask that you return to the site where you got it and leave a short customer review? It would be a good thing both for me and for any potential future readers. So what did we learn there? We learned that he's got an HSA and that in order to continue participating in that plan and doing tax-deductible contributions to his HSA plan, he cannot enroll in any part of Medicare. Otherwise, that queers the deal. So how are we doing time-wise, Randy?
We're out.
Did I hear you say 4 hours?
We're just closing in on 4 hours. So those of you listening, I would highly suggest you take a bio break right now because we're going to get after it for another 4 hours.
We're not going to have an audience left once that's all finished. But okay, I'll keep going as long as I'm. Actually, I do have one more out from the stack. I could do that one and then...
Let's do one more bagger because we tend to leave that for the last and people love the baggers. So let's do one last bagger and then let's close it off.
All righty. This is from a lady and she has a Hotmail email address. And she says, my hubby's Medicare will be effective July 1st of 2020. I read your book, but still have questions. My hubby has heart disease and COPD. Ugh. Some years are good, but some years he's been in the hospital. What supplement should he get? Plan G or high deductible G? Now, as everybody that listens to this or reads the book knows, those are the two plans that I recommend. One is the very comprehensive, but somewhat more expensive plan. And then high deductible G is a high-powered Pontiac GTO of Medicare supplements, very reasonable cost. But anyway, she's going, which of those two plans should I get? I wasn't real clear on your thought process about the high deductible plans. Thank you. And my response, thanks very much for writing, Mrs. X. I suggest the high deductible plan to those who feel confident of their continued good health, because the many years of paying the discounted monthly premiums will make their coverage very cost-effective. Your husband has a higher risk of needing expensive medical treatment in the future, however. Therefore, I recommend purchasing regular Plan G in order to have the most comprehensive protection against unpleasant medical expenses. Did this clarify the situation? If not, please write again, and I will be happy to discuss it in greater detail. Also, be sure to let me know if you come up with additional questions. By the way, and here's where I get them. Every time, You know, I suck them right in and then I smack them upside the head. By the way, if my book was helpful to you, would you mind going back to the site where you got it and leaving a short customer review? It would not only help me, but potential future readers. Thanks very much. Dougie Poo Jones. I didn't sign it that way, but. And then she responded, thank you so much. Loved your book. Very helpful. We'll give it a good review. And then she gave me a thumbs up emoji. And then she comes back and says, quick question, Mr. Doug. Does part B cover dental and vision? Thank you. And I said, no routine dental or vision hearing coverage with Medicare. Policies that cover those things are purchased separately. And then she said, thanks for answering so late at night. I can just cover my hubby through my job, dental and vision. That solves the problem. Thank you so much. So that left me with a warm, fuzzy feeling because she got all the answers that she needed in order to make good decisions about how to move forward into the world of Medicare. And I didn't screw up, I don't think. I think I did okay with her. So that is the final Medicare item or mailbag item for today.
Now, for those of you who are always wondering where to go do a great review for Doug, go to Amazon.com if you bought the book there. Go to Barnes & Noble if you bought the book there. If you bought the electronic version, that would be Amazon. And just log in there and give him a good review because Doug works at this very hard. And as you see, he answers emails at 2 o'clock in the morning, which you won't find a lot of different places. So anyway, we need to land the plane, Doug. Do you have any other things that you wanted to touch on?
Yes, if anybody wants to know what my my warfarin score is, be sure and send us a request, and I will respond with my last INR. I forget what INR stands for, but it's supposed to be between 2 and 3, and so I'll tell you what my last test was if you write and ask, or ask any other questions you have. It's VBJ at MLMmailbag.com.
There you go. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us again. We always appreciate it. We're looking forward to talking around the metaphorical table again soon, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the sole proprietor of the MedicareForTheLazyMan.com and the anti-insurance insurance guy
from
Oklahoma.
Bye-bye.